Most women fear their husband's ex will never fully let go. But what if she never intended to? What if, beneath polite smiles and "I'm happy for you" texts, she was orchestrating a psychological war no one saw coming? When Camille married Ryan, she thought the hardest part of their relationship was behind them. But it wasn't long before the letters started. First, a warning about Ryan's dark past. Then came photos, cryptic messages, dossiers on his former affairs. The sender claimed to be a concerned woman who once dated him, a friend, a survivor. What Camille didn't know, what no one could have imagined, was that the real danger wasn't a stalker or an ex-fling. It was Ryan's ex-wife, Miranda, a woman so skilled at emotional manipulation, she didn't just pretend to be someone else. She created a new identity, inserted herself into Camille's life, and positioned herself as her trusted confidant, all while laying the groundwork to destroy her from the inside. This isn't just a story about jealousy. It's about obsession, power, and what happens when a woman refuses to let go, even if it means pretending to be your best friend. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The notes weren't random. They were a map. Camille used to love checking the mailbox. The scent of paper and ink, the handwritten letters from her mother in Vermont, and the occasional glossy postcard from old college friends. But ever since the first anonymous envelope appeared, thick, sealed, and hand-addressed in a style that looked almost too perfect, it had become a ritual of dread. The first letter was short. "You don't know who he really is. Ask him about Natalie. Ask him what happened in Toronto before it's too late." No return address, just a typewritten message and a photo of Ryan, clearly years old, sitting beside a blonde woman in a restaurant. Camille didn't recognize her. Ryan laughed when she asked, "That's probably Natalie from my first job out of college. We all used to hang out. I haven't spoken to her in years." But the second envelope didn't come with a warning. It came with a list. Names, dates, city, names. A few had notes next to them. 6 months pregnant, terminated. Threatened with restraining order. Emergency room visit. Camille sat at the kitchen table staring at it, trembling. Was this a hit list, or the history of a serial cheater? That night, Ryan was defensive but calm. "Baby, this is insane. You know how messy my divorce was. She was always saying crazy shit like this." Camille nodded, but the seed had been planted. Then the texts started, from a number listed as unavailable. Whoever it was, they were smooth, not threatening, not deranged, concerned, helpful. One message read, "I went through this. I thought he'd change too. He doesn't hit you, does he?" It was that message that prompted Camille to reply, "Who are you?" The response chilled her. "Someone who wants to help. You remind me of who I used to be." Over the next few weeks, Camille confided more in this anonymous friend than she ever had with her therapist. She began questioning everything. Ryan's sudden work trips, the way he would lock his phone, his reluctance to discuss his past marriage. The friend sent more info, screenshots, PDFs. One message included court documents, sealed records of a domestic disturbance filed in 2019. Another detailed a restraining order from a woman in Atlanta. Camille confronted Ryan again. This time, he yelled, slammed a door, called it fucking sabotage. But the final straw came when Camille received a manila envelope containing a necklace, Her wedding necklace. She had lost it months ago in a hotel bathroom on their honeymoon. Yet here it was, returned anonymously with a note. "You left this in room 214. I know because I was there too." Ryan denied it all. "This is Psycho. She's watching us. We need to go to the cops." They did, but the police dismissed it. Anonymous tips, no threats, no stalking charges. Sounds like a jealous ex. Unless you can prove intent, we can't do much. That night, Camille received a voicemail from the friend. A voice altered, low and husky. "He's manipulating you. The police won't help. I know how this ends. He turned me into someone I didn't recognize. Please don't let him do that to you." Camille cried herself to sleep that night, the necklace clutched in her hand. Then came the call that unraveled everything. Miranda's best friend, drunk and pissed off at a birthday party, left a voicemail on Camille's phone. "I hope she's still playing that concerned friend game. You think your husband's the problem, girl? No, it's Miranda. She's the one who never moved on, and she'll burn you both to the ground if she has to." The room spun. Camille ran to her messages, scrolled through months of texts. Each one suddenly seemed poisoned. Every "I've been there too" sounded like a confession. The anonymous friend wasn't a stranger. She was the ex-wife, Miranda. And Camille had let her in, emotionally, psychologically, and dangerously close. Chapter 2. "She wasn't watching us. She was guiding me." Camille paced the living room, fists clenched, fury turning her blood electric. Miranda. She had been speaking to Miranda this entire time. She had poured out her soul, her fears, her doubts, to the woman who once wore the same wedding dress. But what disturbed Camille most wasn't just the deception. It was how skillfully Miranda had shaped her descent. Each message, every warning, every truth had been timed. Strategic. It hadn't been madness. It was choreography. She needed proof. The next morning, Camille sent a message to the friend. "You were right. I want to leave him. Can you help me?" Minutes later, the phone rang. Camille didn't pick up, but she recorded it. The same altered voice whispered, "You're doing the right thing. I'll help you pack. You can come stay with me if you're scared. You don't deserve what he did to you." There it was. The offer. She was laying the trap, reeling Camille in. Camille wanted to scream. Instead, she set up a meeting, a coffee shop, neutral ground. Friend agreed. "I'll be the one with the red scarf." When the woman arrived, Camille's breath caught. Miranda looked just like her. Same height, same long brown hair, same soft pink coat. She had mirrored Camille's look. She had become her shadow. Miranda smiled. "It's good to finally meet you." Camille held up her phone. "I recorded everything. I know it's you. I know what you've been doing." The smile froze. "You don't understand. He is dangerous," Miranda said, eyes widening. "I was trying to protect you. I couldn't just sit back and watch. You weren't protecting me. You were replacing me." Silence. Then Miranda said, "He replaced me, and you let him." The words stung, not because they were true, but because they revealed everything. Miranda hadn't just wanted revenge. She wanted Camille to fall apart the way she had, to suffer through the paranoia, the lies, the crumbling identity. And she had nearly succeeded. Camille stood. "If you contact me again, I'll get a restraining order. The next time the police hear from me, it won't be anonymous." Miranda didn't follow. She didn't argue. She simply sat there, sipping her coffee like nothing had happened. But it wasn't over. Over the next few weeks, Camille's work email was hacked. Her mother received a letter detailing Ryan's abuse. Her neighbor found her cat locked in the garage with a strange powder sprinkled around its food. The psychological siege had resumed, this time with no illusions. Camille snapped one night when she found a lipstick-stained wine glass on the front porch. She stormed inside, told Ryan everything, every text, every voicemail, every deception. He collapsed onto the couch, stunned. "I knew she was manipulative," he whispered. "But this is next level." The couple went dark, deleted socials, changed numbers, moved across the city, got therapy. But Miranda still lingered, in nightmares, in phone alerts, in the silence that followed every doorbell ring. Camille kept one photo in her wallet, an image Miranda had once sent of Ryan with that mystery woman in the restaurant. She flipped it over. In faint ink was a message Camille had never noticed. "If I can't have him, no one will." The war hadn't ended. It had only gone underground. And Camille would never again mistake concern for compassion or a message for a warning.